Last Sunday, after I got home from church and was finally sitting down to start some homework, I got a phone call from one of my best friend's husband. He said, "It's time. The baby's coming out tonight. How soon can you be here?" 6 minutes later, I was out the door and on my way to their house. When I arrived, they quickly packed up and went off to the hospital, and I was left sitting on the floor with their 2-year-old daughter, Lucy. Lucy and I spent the next few days together. While her parents were at the hospital with her new baby sister, Lucy and I tried to navigate how we go about being students and working and taking care of a toddler. Would not recommend. But to my great fortune, Lucy is perhaps the most helpful 2-year-old in the world. When she asked to have some peanut M&Ms, I shrugged, saying, "Sure." And then she proceeded to inform me that they are a choking hazard for her, so I should crush them up first. She then got the wooden cutting board and a meat mallet for me to do so. She is remarkably independent and has a strong desire to tackle tasks by herself. When I was Lucy's age, I had a similar drive for independence. My parents still refer to me by my unofficial name, Emma. No, me, by myself. Right. As a young child, I internalized the concept that independence is better than dependence. I was determined to fend for myself. Of course, my endeavors of self-reliance were limited by simple childhood realities, like needing help tying my shoes and not having a driver's license. But like Lucy, I wanted to prove my ability to fend for myself. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Ruth. The whole book is only 4 chapters long, and it tells the story of 2 incredibly strong and resilient women, Ruth and Naomi. The story begins with a heartbreaking narrative of loss. Naomi loses her husband and her 2 adult sons. To make matters worse, there's a famine in the land of Moab, where she lives, and she is far away from any of her relatives at home in Judah. Faced with an impossible situation, Naomi tells her 2 daughters-in-law, the widows of her sons, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." The girls are from Moab, but nonetheless, they offer to travel with Naomi all the way back to Judah. They offer to leave their hometown for the sake of their mother-in-law. But Naomi persists, and she warns them about all the hardships that this would bring. They would be foreigners. They would be widows. They would be poor. It would not be easy. And she instructs them a second time, "Go back to your families here. Go back to that sense of security." One of them, Oprah, is convinced, and she goes home. But the other, Ruth, continues to cling to Naomi. It's easy to read Naomi's instruction to go home as loving. Our culture celebrates self-reliance, and it seems like Naomi just wants to protect the girls. She wants to protect her daughter-in-laws from experiencing any more hurt. Naomi claims she'll be fine on her own. She doesn't want to cause them suffering. She wants to fend for herself. And yet, my friends, Christianity is not about fending for ourselves. The gospel reading today, Jesus commands us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving neighbor are not know me by myself activities. They require profound connectedness. Loving God and loving neighbor require us to be vulnerable in receiving love and in receiving care. In church, we spend a lot of time talking about how we need to love others and care for them and go out into the world, and we spend very little time talking about how we also need to receive love and care. And receiving requires a level of vulnerability that a lot of us are uncomfortable with. We have to set aside our pride or our shame, our tendencies to shout by myself. Take a moment and think with me. When was the last time you received help from a loved one? How did it feel to be cared for? I know that I feel deeply honored when a person I care about asks for my help, but rather uncomfortable when I'm on the receiving end. There's a hypocrisy to it, or maybe a savior complex, or maybe the know me by myself voice fills me with shame whenever I receive help. I wonder if Naomi was feeling some of the same. I wonder if she felt ashamed to be receiving help from her daughter-in-law. Brené Brown, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with, became famous through her TED Talk on shame called The Power of Vulnerability. She's an author and researcher who wanted to study connection. But when she started interviewing people and asking them questions about love and connection and belonging, most people responded with stories of heartbreak and being excluded. Asking about stories of connection led to receiving stories about disconnection. And she found a common factor in those stories: shame. Shame is the fear of disconnection, she says. It's the fear that there is something about me that if other people know it or see it, that I won't be worthy of connection. It's a universal thing, but no one wants to talk about it. And the less you talk about it, the more you have it. What underpins this shame, she discovered, is that excruciating vulnerability. Because in order to form meaningful connections, like the kind that Jesus is asking us to form, we must be seen, really seen. As Brown was analyzing all this data, all these stories she collected, she found that there's one variable dividing those who have a strong sense of love and belonging from those who lack it. And that difference is whether or not they believed they were worthy of belonging and love, of connection. Shame boils down to the question of worthiness. Am I worthy of connection? And so I'm wondering, does Naomi feel worthy of connection? Looking at the text, I think probably not. Naomi tells the girls, "The hand of the Lord has turned against me." She feels disconnected from God. And I suspect she feels unworthy of a connection with Ruth as well. But Ruth refuses to accept this, saying, Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me." Ruth bravely announces her love for Naomi in this moment and her commitment to their relationship. And I'll add that Naomi bravely receives it. Naomi is a wise, strong woman precisely because she allows herself to be cared for. When she is hopeless later in the book and changes her name to Mara, meaning bitter, she does not force Ruth away. Naomi's able to receive the support and love that Ruth is offering her. And Ruth, our other protagonist, is also a wise, strong woman because she reassures Naomi of their lifelong connection. She reduces Naomi's shame by affirming her worthiness. Even in the midst of grief and uncertainty, Ruth stays. Ruth offers the kind of love that God has, the love that won't leave. God's love won't leave. The text doesn't explain why Ruth decides to stay, but I'm inclined to believe it's out of love. And I'm inclined to believe that that love is the same reason Naomi is able to accept it. That love of neighbor, love of God, and love of self. The commandment of love that Jesus proclaims today is not about self-reliance. It's not about always being the one to help others. Loving God and loving neighbor also means learning to receive the love offered to you. Is it possible that receiving God's love and your neighbor's love can be just as sacred as giving it? Love requires vulnerability and connection. And I invite you this week to practice the receiving side of love. I invite you to practice not sending away your friend who offers to stay, but staying with them in your moments of sadness and of grief. During the first night that I was with Lucy, the toddler, it was, I believe, her first time overnight away from her parents. And she woke up around 3 a.m. and was pretty distressed to find that I was sleeping in the big bed and not her mommy and daddy. She was sleepy and not really sure what to make of the whole thing and kind of just sat down on the floor in the hallway. And I had no idea what I could possibly give to her to relieve this discomfort. I could not snap my fingers and bring mommy and daddy home, nor could I even tell her exactly when they would be home. I didn't know. So I sat on the floor with her in the hallway, and we just sat there in silence until she felt like talking. And then we talked about how scary it is to feel by yourself. And I assured her that I wasn't going to leave. I wouldn't leave until mommy and daddy were home. And I assured her that she is strong and smart and kind and worthy. I told her it is okay to feel scared. It's okay to need help. And this morning, on Halloween, a day often filled with scary movies and gory costumes, thankfully of which I see none here, let me assure you that it is okay to be afraid. Regardless of age, it is okay to need help. It is indeed sacred to receive such help. You are worthy of connection. You are enough. And you are so beloved. And I pray that you and Naomi, Ruth, Lucy, and Lucy's new baby sister, named, wait for it, Ruth, will be open to receiving love from God, to receiving love from your neighbors, and to receiving love from yourself. Amen.